Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. This podcast is sponsored by the Epigraph Literary Festival. The Epigraph Literary Festival is a three-day virtual event that introduces readers to authors with new and upcoming books and hosts genre and lifestyle theme sessions. They host a spring-summer festival in April and a fall-winter festival in September. If you missed the festival, you know they have you covered because now you can sign up to watch the replays. There are two options for the replays. You can get an April 23rd replays for $25 and watch all the sessions on demand, or you can get a premium festival bundle for $40, which includes April 23 replays plus replays from April and September 22 festivals. So that's three festivals for the price of $40. With each replay, you can binge watch authors sharing about their books in general through sessions, access to lifestyle sessions such as like a cheese plate and brunch bore, demonstrations, entertaining, journaling, self-care sessions, and more. The What to Read Next podcast listeners get an exclusive 10% discount for their purchase if you use the code What to Read Next, and you can sign up for the festival, which is happening the week of April 27th to the 29th, or you can buy the replays by going to epigraphlitfest.com. And now let's get to the show.
Hi, Lynn. Welcome to our Twitter Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me again.
So happy to have you here. So I was telling you, I think the last time we spoke was pre-publication and Better Than the Movie. So a lot has changed, but a lot of like things have been the same. So talk to us about this wall ride of publication, because now you have published about 2 to 3 in each YA and adult category. So you're like, you're dabbling both areas and you're giving us the rom-coms that we need.
Well, it's been a wild ride because, you know, publishing is interesting because you turn in a book and it's at least a year before it comes out, like a year and a half. So when you're first getting started, it just feels like it's going to be forever until things get rolling. But then, like, if you're like me, where you're writing in two different areas, they start to pick up. And now it seems like I have a YA and an adult every year. So it sped up a little bit. So now it's really kind of fun because it's just like a steady stream of like exciting things to look forward to. Like just when you're like, oh, the love wager's out, I can breathe. Then you're like, no, I got to start doing promo for Betting on You. And so it's really been kind of fun, but it's been a wild ride because the lead up to Better Than the Movies, you know, that came out in May of 2021. So yeah. Right before that was the heart of the lockdown. And I remember I got my first vaccine. And the second one, I got like a week after it came out. So it's like literally the first time I went out to like a public place was when I got to go to Barnes & Noble and see my book in the store. So it seems like the world has completely changed since that came out. And I talked to you last.
It has changed. I think I was in Chicago at the time. I'm no longer living in Chicago. I live in the dystopian place of Florida, but you know. It is what it is. And so a lot has changed, but at the same time, like we're still craving these romance stories that, you know, the pandemic were keeping us sane because we were like a good escape. And now you're just like being part of the rom-com lore of giving us like what we need, you know?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, personally, I'm a reader more than a writer. You know, I've always read romance. And to me, it's just, there's something, you know, you could argue, you know, could I write literary fiction? Never in a million years. I am not that talented, but romance has its place. Like I kind of like my Gilmore Girls and my Friends, and I have my comfort shows I watch. I feel like romance kind of scratches that itch of that comfort thing where you know, yes, most of the time, you know how it's going to end up, but it just gives you that comfort, that space where you know you're not going to be destroyed. It's just going to end up happy.
Yes. And so how do you balance doing both? Like are you writing one at a season at a time, like one YA book and then writing the adult book and then editing in between? What's the process looks like for you since you're you know, doing two books and two different editors, two different publishing companies. So how do you balance it all?
You know, when I first had my first two books coming out, there was more of a space between Better Than the Movies and Mr. Wrong Number. So I wasn't really bouncing back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's kind of become a steady stream where I'm always working on all of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I just, right now I've finished up all the edits for Betting on You, but then I was also working on finishing my next adult rom-com at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's been turned in. Now I'm about to turn in the sequel for Better Than the Movies. And then I'll be getting edits for, so I'm constantly working in both, but I like it. I feel like it fuels my creativity. I don't probably have the luxury of hitting a wall because there's so much back and forth that I don't, you know, fall where you're like, I can't look at this book anymore. I don't know where it's going. I feel like I need more time with this book because now I have to bounce to the other book. So for me, for somebody who's kind of erratic and all over the place anyways, it really works. I enjoy it a lot.
Awesome. So let's talk about some of your recent releases. So The Love Wager, what is the elevator pitch? Which is your adult rom-com?
The Love Wager is about two people who hook up after a wedding. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of one of those drunken oops nights. And then both of them go back to their lives. I'm so bad at elevator pitches. I ramble on and on and on. So I would never actually be able to pitch a book in an elevator ever. But then they go back to their lives and they're both kind of realizing that they actually want to look for it, for love. So they each go on a dating app separately and they actually match with each other. But Hallie starts messing with Jack. She's like, how come you never called? And he's like, you know, having that moment of panic. She's like, I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to match with you. And they kind of become each other's wingman where they're each trying to find love and they report back to each other on what happens on their date. And ultimately they start scheduling dates at the same taco place or at the same place, because if it doesn't work out, they can go get tacos together. So then it becomes friends to lovers and they do a little fake dating and it's got all the tropes.
You got all the tropes and it's just like a really like a nice little break. It's like perfect beach vacation, you know, romance where you just like just gets your escape. Like, you know, it's a little angsty. It's just fun. Yeah. It's comforting. And like, you know, I love when the friendship blooms, like they're, you know, they get the hook up and be like, actually, can we be friends about this? And then, you know, and be wingman of each other's dating, like in dating mishaps. It's just fine. So
You know, and I always thought when I'm like ranking tropes I like, I've always been like, oh, friends to lovers, that's boring. But I didn't really actually think about it. You know, I was thinking of like, oh, people who've been friends for 10 years becoming lovers or something. But I have so much fun writing buddies. I don't know, maybe it's just the way I text with my husband or something, but it's just like the banter between a guy and girl friendship, flipping each other crap, is just my favorite to write. So I had a blast with that. And I feel like I'm going to be stuck on friends to lovers for a long time.
It is so good. I like it from you. So it works. And then talk to us about your YA release. What are we expecting from you in the YA space this year?
The YA release, Betting on You, is a YA spin on When Harry Met Sally. That is one of my all-time favorite movies. And basically when the book starts, it's kind of like the book starts saying like 4 years ago. And I think they're like 14. And the two main characters, Charlie and Bailey, they meet in an airport and just don't like each other. They're stuck sitting next to each other in the plane. And it's just annoying banter back and forth. He's obnoxious. She's uptight, sort of a thing. And then the next chapter is like 2 years later and they run into each other in a movie theater. And it's still kind of the same, like, you haven't changed. Good seeing you. Not sort of a thing, you know. And then a year later, Bailey starts a new job at this indoor water super park. And who else is in training with her? But it's Charlie. And they end up becoming like best friends in very much a Harry and Sally sort of a vibe where they're best friends, but they also drive each other crazy, but they know each other so well, sort of a thing. So then it kind of becomes friends, and then they have some fake dating. And of course, I have to throw in all of that because I can't stop myself. but it's really, it's probably, I can't have a rank. I was going to say they're kind of my favorites, but usually I'm super fickle. Like whatever I just finished writing, I'm like, they're my favorite ever. You know?
I feel you. I feel like it's like asking you who's your favorite child. You probably, you know, you have a favorite child, but the reality is you're not going to say it out loud. It's just the one that you're working with. The one that you just saw, that's your favorite child.
Right. The shiny new baby. The shiny new baby is amazing. But Wes and Liz are still like my oldest child.
Yeah.
Better than the Movies is still like the best. But then you're also like, ooh, the do-over is kind of that middle child. So yeah, I don't know. But it was super fun to write. So
it is all great. I love that your books are set in, most of your books are set in Omaha, Nebraska, which is like a setting that I know you're from there. So, but it's a setting that it's actually like, we don't see that often, but it's kind of like neat to have like, you know, like an actual setting.
You know,
not New York or not random small town.
I never intended to set them to be like, oh, I want all my books to be set in Omaha. And honestly, sometimes I question myself because like I have a friend who lives in New York and she'll always joke around like, where do you live again? Like Nebraska, Homa. Like she thinks of, you know, the middle of the country, it's all just one big blur. So then I'm like, am I turning people off by people being like, where is Omaha? But my thing is, so far in my books, you know, some books really need their place, you know, like you'll see a rom-com or read a book and it's set in New York. You know, like, or like, set it up, you know, that's just, that needs to be in New York. That just has a vibe there. But in my books, they're not really tied to a setting. They're more character driven. So like, if I'm writing about two kids in high school, that it could be set anywhere. So why not set it in Omaha? You know? So
it is.
I'm sure eventually I'll have to look outside my little city, but, for the time being, it's worked. Nobody's told me. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. It just gets you another idea of like what Omaha is, because my vision of Omaha is Omaha Steaks. So I think it's steaks, you know? So now you're like, oh no, but there's actually kids and they're falling in love and they're like grown-ups falling in love and they have like really nice apartments. And I'm thinking like, maybe I should move to Omaha.
And you know what's funny is I think we all do that with everywhere we're not familiar with, because I'll do that with all of these other cities, you know, like, oh, you'll hear about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you're like, whatever, what is Tulsa? And then my husband and I moved there for a year, and you're like, it's got a super cool downtown. There's all sorts of cool things to do. But in your head, you're like, Oklahoma, it's like red dirt and ranches and rednecks, right? You know, yeah. And we all kind of do that. So it is kind of fun to have somebody be like, wait, there's a downtown in Nebraska with like luxury, you know, condominiums? Really? Yes, there really are.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love you bringing us a different city for us to get to know each other. So we got to talk some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
This is always a hard question for me because I read in like spurts. Like I've been on deadline forever. But like if I'm cleaning, I'll like listen to an audiobook really fast. So the book I keep recommending, and he doesn't need my recommendation, and it's not new, is Billy Summers by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. I read that last May and it is still stuck with me, and I keep making people cry and read it. But he's such a, you know, you always think of him in horror, and he's such a brilliant writer. And Billy Summers is not horror. It's just like a general fiction book. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. Have you read it?
No, I'm just now curious. I'm like, because I just associate like horror, and I'm like, I don't think I can do horror.
No, it's not horror at all. And I don't remember, whoever told me to read it must have been somebody I really trusted, because I'm not like a horror person. But the main character is like a hitman, mm-hmm. but he's got this vibe about him where he'll only kill people who are bad people, you know, kind of like the Dexter sort of ideology, you know. But and he's an ex military person who was like a sniper over in the Middle East. But Stephen King is so good with layering. It's like you think you've got this character and you've got this plot going, and then this other entire thing drops in there and there's a whole new plot line. But he's so magical. Anyways, I could go on all day about it, but I recommend it to everybody. It'll break your heart a little bit in certain parts, but it was just so very good.
Gosh, I love this. Oh, so good. So Lynn, tell us where you're finding online.
On Instagram, I am at Lynn Painter Books. And on Twitter, I'm at LA painter, you know, of course, a normal person would have the same thing on all of their platforms, and I do not. And I'm on Facebook, I think LA Painter Books. I don't know. I don't go on Facebook enough anymore.
Sorry.
I was going to say for reasons. On TikTok, I'm Bookish Lynn Painter, but I don't really create any content. I love TikTok. I waste way too many hours on it, but yeah. I'm totally a voyeur. The only things I ever post are literally like Instagram posts that I put in book talk form. You know, like it's just a static post about something, and then I'll put music to it. And I'm like, I made a TikTok, but it's not a TikTok.
I love this. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, sure. I love it. This is awesome. It's so fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.